or where did that come from? Well, just for the record, it sets the course of the psalm, and by the way, is actually the first verse. In other words, when you read a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Ahimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I don't know whether you remember the story or not. David got his tail in a crack between the Philistine king and King Saul. And didn't know what to do. And he didn't want to go against the Lord's anointed. You know how he felt about King Saul, even though Saul wanted to kill him at every turn of the road. Interesting. And so he acted like a crazy man. Yeah. He acted like he was insane to get out of the situation. You know, it's amazing what we do for survival. But the point is that the inspired word of God puts that in there to let us know that David was human and he was going through a bad time. And that highlights the next verse, doesn't it? When he says, I will bless the Lord what? At all times. Come on. At all times? How do you do that? I mean, certainly the circumstance dictates, doesn't it? But you see, the key here is, and of course, I'll tell you what the real key is, I will. Have you ever thought about what faith is? What is faith, anyhow, anybody? Taking God at his word. Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Did he know the gospel as we know it? No. What did he know about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Even John the Baptist didn't preach that message. He didn't know about it. But there was a gospel, the good news, in that dispensation, God delivering a message. And when Abraham believed God, okay, he didn't just believe in God. He believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So faith, really, when you go down, anybody know where the roll call of faith is in the Bible? We know it as Hebrews chapter 11. Remember that? And Noah, you remember, I said last night, if you remember, that by faith he moved with fear. By the way, in that faith chapter of Hebrews 11, do you know that they all did something? Think about it. Abraham went out with his U-Haul and his camel looking for a city. They all moved by faith. Faith is not goosebumps on your backbone, you know. Like some of these guys on TV, I feel faith coming on. You know, no, come on. Faith has legs on it. And frankly, you can equate faith with the fear of God. What does the fear of God do? It moves. It's moving toward God. It's obeying the Lord. Okay? But here's something else I want to tie in, maybe you never thought about. So you got faith, you've got the fear of God equals the fear of God equals, ready? I will. Think about it. Faith says, I will. That's what David did here. This is how, and again, I don't have this down to a science. I've seen it work, and personally, I've seen it not work. But the problem is, of course, is not with the book. It's never with the Lord. It's with the guy praying and our understanding, okay? But David said, in the midst of this conflict, I will bless the Lord. And you notice the four verses. I'll bless the Lord how often? You know, at all times, because we have a tendency to bless the Lord for his deliverance or for his blessing or his healing or whatever you want to put in there. But we need to bless the Lord, period. See, we bless him because of who he is, not just what he delivers. That's a big lesson. That's a biggie. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My, my. I don't know how you go to sleep at night, But I'm finding that the most effective way is not counting sheep, but just constantly blessing the Lord, just thanking Him. And I don't know how long your list is. It could be real, real long. It would be non-ending, wouldn't it? But again, not blessing Him for anything. Lord, thank You for who You are. Because one day I wanted the blessing. Now we have what? We have the blesser. One day I wanted the power. Now I have the source of the power. Huh? Once I wanted the healing. Now I have the healer, who's constantly healing, whether we see anything or we don't see anything. He wants all the glory. Do you know that He actually saves us for His glory, not ours? Amen. What about that? In light of what Brother Morris is preaching, that new covenant, that blows you away. It's almost too good to be true. I mean, the old was good, but this is better, huh? We had the shadow back there, but aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that we don't have, like David and others, had to drag a lamb with them to the temple to be saved? Come on. However you want to slice it, you could say, well, he was saved by faith, and faith and the blood runs all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. No question about it. But I want to tell you, in that Old Testament economy, you can't just say, I believe. You had to do something. Now, I'm not going to argue with you whether that's included in salvation. The point is, faith in itself, according to Romans 6, is obeying the doctrine that's been delivered to you in the heart, right? So David had to drag a lamb with him. That lamb was essential to the shed blood, to the forgiveness of sin. Until one day what? Hallelujah, John 1:29, on the shore of Galilee, here comes what? The Lord Jesus. And John said, behold the Lamb of God who what? Taketh away the sin of the world. You see that in the Old Testament, and I'm not trying to rehash what Brother Morris has said, but I want to tell you something. You can't repeat it often enough, because I'll tell you, the devil will fight us tooth and nail on that doctrine. See, that's essential. But those Levitical goats, remember on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, the two goats? The high priest, after he had dealt with his own sin with the lamb, he put his hand on that one lamb, they slit the throat, and the blood ran. And what was that? Cleansing of Israel's sins for 1 year. How about the second goat? What's he all about? He's called, how many have ever heard of a scapegoat? We use that terminology, don't we? Somebody takes the fall. That's exactly what Jesus did. He took the fall. And that second goat, they put the sin, transferred the sin. And they said to him, you get lost. And that goat ran out in the wilderness, never to return again. Why? What's that all about? I thought there was a cleansing. But the thing is, that second part was in picture of what Jesus Christ would do one day, not only to cleanse us from all sin, but to take our sin and take it away forever, remove it, and cast it into the depth of the sea. And he said, I'll remember it no more. Can you imagine that the God of the universe can't remember sin when it's under the blood of the Lamb? And that'll be a happy day when you just receive that and say, Lord, thank you that I'm forgiven. You understand there's no religion in the world that offers forgiveness. Think about it. Every religion's got something they need to do, crawl on their knees, count beads, do this, do that, don't do the other thing. Huh? But Jesus Christ was the only one, because he was God in the flesh, who could deal with sin and then remove it, because he's God, never to be remembered again. How come you're remembering your sin? God isn't. But we have an accuser. We have somebody who remembers. And the problem is, he wants us to keep remembering too. He wants us to drag the skeletons out of the closet and he wants to dangle them in front of our face. We have to refuse that. Stand fast in the Lord. Amen. Resist the devil, as it were. And so the battle is where? The battle is basically here. But have you ever thought about it? That he removed your sin completely. Never to remember it again. My son Joel has a friend who got his record. He had a record down at the police department. He got his record expunged. What does that mean? You all know the term? In other words, through some legal process, you can get your record removed. But I want to tell you something. You can't do that with the God of heaven. You've got a record that's indelible. But Colossians 2, I didn't plan to do any of this, but Colossians 2, around verse 12, it tells us that that record, all the ordinances that were against us, that condemned us, were nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. That's unreal. You say, Doc, that's too much to handle. Yes, it is, but God can handle it.
Amen.
And what is faith? We just take it by faith. Take it at his word. Okay? So David, in an Old Testament concept, knew something of the forgiveness of God. He didn't know it in the fullness of the New Testament, but I'm sure he does now. And here, he's simply extolling the Lord. He's simply blessing the Lord. At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Then he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. By the way, nothing wrong with boasting if we're boasting in the Lord. But man's a boaster. And that's perverted. The humble shall hear thereof. In other words, there are people out there who are actually humble enough to listen. They're out there. They're out there today. And then he says, let's get together now, verse 3. Let's do this corporately. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Okay? That's what the church house is about. We're worshiping the Lord through the week, and then we come together. Let's do this together. Let's get into this thing. Let's worship him. He's altogether worthy. Let's crescendo a praise that reaches glory today. You know, that's sort of the idea, isn't it? And there's strength in that, is there not? Going to church is not just a ritual, or I got to go to church because I'm a Christian. No. I was amazed that when I got saved, I actually wanted to go to church. That was a miracle in its own. Who in the world would go to church? Come on. Go to a party? Okay. Go to a ball game? Anything. Not church. But there's something about it when God comes in and you've got a bunch of people who have God on the inside and they want to walk with him. There's something that draws us together, you see. And so they'll magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. There's something about that unity of the brethren. I sought the Lord, verse 4, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Anybody fearful today? I've got a problem with fear. But God's not given us the spirit of fear. He's given us what? He's given us power and love. What else? A sound mind. You know what the word sound there means? Sozo. It's the word for salvation. Did you know God has delivered our minds, saved us in the mind? Because as a man thinketh in his heart or mind, so is he. You can't live any higher than you think. I'm preaching to myself today, by the way, so don't. It dawned on me one day that the root of anxiety is what? Fear. Fear of the unknown. And I know all the theology about it. I know that you can't really pray and worry at the same time, but I sure have given it a shot. Did you know that there are, I understand, 366 occasions in the Bible where it says, fear not? Is that significant or what? One for leap year, evidently. Fear not. And in these four verses, you notice three of them are praise. Fourth, prayer. Little practical thing that I learned. You ever get down and say, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray like those Puritans, man. I've got to spend like Luther. I can't make it in less than any 3 hours a day. So I get down on my knees. And, of course, if I don't fall back to sleep, then I look at my, oh, man, 7 minutes went by. What do I do now? I've run out of steam. I've run out of stuff. What kind of a giant of the faith am I? You know, it'd be interesting if we really knew what those guys went through. It's easy to write books without and leave out the stuff. You know, if you really love somebody, if you write a book on them, there's no warts. If you don't like them, it's all warts. That's why I love the Word of God. It tells the truth about David, but then it says he's a man after God's own heart. Now, you figure that out. Chronicles doesn't even mention his sin. Samuel does, but not Chronicles. That's the capstone, huh? That's the kingdom age. That's the last book of the Hebrew Old Testament, by the way, Chronicles. Beautiful Word of God. Now, coming back to my point, if you can't pray, try praise. There's something about it. Just praise Him. And somehow the Holy Ghost will shift gears in your spirit where you start praying. You may not even be aware of it. You know, we tell people, how much time do you spend in prayer? Well, what do you do with 1 Thessalonians 5:24, pray without ceasing? How do you do that? How can that be? On your knees 24/7? What's he talking about? I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about the dispensing of the Holy Ghost, who now is not just God with us like Jesus Emmanuel, but now God in us. By the way, where's the temple? Where do we go to the temple? There is none. General Titus took care of that in 70 AD. The Jews have been in a dilemma ever since. But 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Wow. Which ye have, and you're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We don't go to the temple, we are the temple. Do you understand when you read the Apostle Paul, he puts this spiritual life on a higher plane than anywhere in Scripture? I want you to think about that carefully. I believe the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, from the book of Acts, you never even hear of Peter after Acts 15:7. It's all Paul. I believe the epistles of Paul is a commentary on the whole Bible. And when you move into Ephesians, you're in a different level than even Romans. And you're certainly in a different level than you are in Mark. You're up in the heavenlies now. Waiting for the Holy Ghost? No, we already have Him. But now we're what? Blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Everything we need is in Him. In fact, I'm going to say this may sound heretical to some of you, but so be it. Oh, if we could just walk with Jesus like they did in His day, wouldn't that have been wonderful? Well, Judas did, and he ended up in hell. And the other 11 were perplexed at best. I'm not sure Peter really got in until he stood at the threshold of an empty tomb And all the stuff that Jesus said about dying and raising, it says in the scripture they didn't understand what he was talking about. That's why he said, I'm going fishing, boys. This guy's left us holding the bag. Until he saw the empty tomb that sealed it in his heart. And with great power then gave they witness of the what? Not only the cross, but the resurrection.
Yes. That's right.
He's alive.
Amen.
You ever think about this? We believe in the second coming. He's coming back. Do you ever realize he's coming back? How could he ever come back if he didn't get out of the grave? You and I, here's my point, here's my heretical point, that you and I today are in position by the Spirit of God living within us as the church. We have an intimacy with Christ that the disciples never had before Pentecost. We're somebody in God. We need to become believing believers. See, that's, we talk about revival. We've got churches that are filled with unbelieving believers. And I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I've got my own problems. But coming back to the prayer thing, if ye abide in me, John 15, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Prayer, in a sense, got nothing to do with the calendar or the clock. It's an overflow from the inflow that comes through an addiction to the Word of God. You're clean through the what? Through the Word. That's more than crack cocaine. Clean to the core. After all, what is holiness when you come down to it? That word scared me when I first got saved. Because my first exposure to Christianity was holiness people. Do you know what I'm talking about? Beautiful people that God introduced me to in South Carolina when I was in college. Had the long dresses and the bun in the back. The men were immaculate in all sense of the word. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not opposed to that. But the emphasis seemed to be on external. But I met these beautiful people who showed me something else that was on the inside. And I began to realize that holiness was not just a code, but it was a heart that desired to do the will of God. I asked a Mennonite lady one time in Pennsylvania. She had a bookstore up in the attic of her garage. And she had the garb of the Mennonites. There's others who wear similar garb. And I asked her one time, I said, I think her name was Stoltzfus. I said, Mrs. Stoltzfus, are you really a saved believer in Christ? She said, yes, I am. I said, how long have you been a real Christian? She said, 7 years. Now, there's an older lady. I said, tell me about that. She said, my salvation was in my religion, in my church, in my garb, in my deportment. I thought I was just a good person in contrast to everybody around me. And I said, is there some pride in the garb? She said, yes, I have to say so. And one day I had to put that aside and come to Christ.
Amen.
And deal with my own self-righteousness, which is the worst kind. You know, the harlots and the drunkards and the thieves got in Jesus' day, but the religious people were shut out.
That's
It's the same thing today. Can I give you a definition of holiness? Okay, here's the blackboard. H equals plus R and J. What does that mean? Plus R is God's righteousness. What does that mean? God loves what's right. J, justice. What's that mean? God hates what's wrong. Got it? H equals plus R and J. God loves what's right, hates what's wrong. When you're unholy, what's the problem? You hate what God loves, and you love what God hates. Called unregenerate spirit, the Cain spirit. Huh? God says right, you say left. He says up, you say down. When you get saved by the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit comes within us, for the first time, all of a sudden, you start loving what God loves. And wonder of wonders, you start hating what God hates. And you become what? Like God. So holiness is becoming like God. You begin, and sanctification just advances that as you go. You grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. More and more you love what he loves. More and more you hate what he hates till you're like Jesus. That's holiness. Now, I realize simplified, but in our life, in other words, you take God out of a holy person and they have no reason to live down here because everything they do, they want to do for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think that's pretty simple. And then I began to realize it didn't have all the trimmings and all the stuff attached to it. It was a hard attitude. So coming back to prayer, you say, Doc, you're all over the place today. But I'm going down the right road. Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? You see, if you're walking in holiness, it's a response, it's an overflow that you're not even aware of. I'm not discounting the times in the closet. Don't misunderstand me here. But what I'm saying, prayer is much deeper than all that. How many of you found yourself praying as you read the word? So, let me ask you a question. How many of you are breathing right now? Raise your hand. Okay, thank you. How many of you were conscious of breathing before I mentioned it? See that? Something's going on that you and I are not even aware of. I'm here to tell you, and here's a good statement. Prayer is to the soul what breath is to the body. Prayer is to the soul what breath is to the body. And when you're walking in fellowship with the Lord Jesus, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, you're praying. You're praying and not even aware of it. By the way, there's some things that if you become aware of them, it's a problem. For instance, if you're sick, what happens? And you have a fever. You're conscious of your heartbeat. That's not an evidence of health. That's an evidence of sickness. Huh? Isn't it wonderful to function and not be conscious of... I was going to say conscious of anything. Well, that's bad too. But some things are just functioning because God put them in place. Pray without ceasing. See, I think we're laboring many times. Now, there's a labor. I understand that. But the Spirit of Christ dwells within us. You see, that's the whole point. When the Spirit of God descended from heaven on Pentecost, it wasn't the fact that Jesus had you know, decided just to stay in heaven and, you know, and he just simply made other plans. No, it was essential. He said it's expedient that I go.
Yeah.
What does that mean? All this that Brother Morris has been preaching about, you see, was accomplished. And what Jesus did when he ascended, he laid all that at the Father's throne, all that in the heavenly tabernacle. And when the Holy Ghost came, you see, he came as the intercessor now, the paraclete, the comforter, huh? The one who would take all that Jesus completed at the cross, the resurrection, and what? And plant that and reveal that, if you will, and put that together in the heart and the life of the believer. That's why all through Acts, you don't see, it doesn't say God or said to Jesus. The Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost says, separate unto me. Remember at the Council of Jerusalem, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Ananias and Sapphira, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? It is interesting, not the Father, the Son. The dispensing of the Holy Ghost was essential to fill this body as the temple of God and make us somebody in Christ that we could never be otherwise. Would you like to sing the song? Psalm 34, 1 through 4. One little adjustment in verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. Okay, you with me? Here we go. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. That chorus I don't always remember, but help me out, you know it. Let's say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in all you hear. May be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. And then one more we'll sing. Let's stand together. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. We're not quite done yet, Tom. Where are the rest of the guys? Can they get in for a minute? I want them to help us. I want to sing a couple of Bible school songs. You want to try this one with me? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine alway, and all I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine alway, and all I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. How many little kids do we have here today beside me? Okay. You ready? You all know this one here. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through again. He's able. He's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. He heals the brokenhearted, and he sets the captives free. He made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through. Come on, help me out. He heals the brokenhearted,
And he sets the captive free. He made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know my Lord is able to carry me through.
Amen. Well, Doc, you got 2 hours to preach now. Cleared the deck. No, I'm just kidding. Isn't the Lord good?
Yes.
What did David say? I will bless the Lord at all times.
Can you do that today?
Some of you are in deep water. Some literally. What do you do? Is he still living?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
God. And sometimes we don't feel like it. There's stuff I don't feel like. That's why he said, I will. See, praise is faith in action, isn't it?
Amen.
We praise God whether we feel like it or not. Like getting up in the morning when you know you got to go somewhere. Huh? You waited to. How many of you would still be in bed if you waited to feel like getting up?
Not us.
I'm glad we can have this time together today.
Yes.
Yes.
My heart's refreshed.
Yes. Brother Bill, could we sing Thou Art Worthy?
Sure. Help us with the words.
Thou art worthy.
Before Doc comes for our next meeting, okay? Enjoy the time. God bless you.